One of the things I also learned about this church when I first came is that you enjoy eating. And after service, there will be, you know, food available in our narthex, always a great gift, which will probably be good because of what I'm about to say. Do you remember eating ice cream for the first time? Well, you should. Because it's like heaven opened up and was given to us as a gift. Actually, you know, when in the early church, when baptisms occurred, they would have the baptism and they would bring them back to church and they would have communion. And as part of that time, this was their first time to receive communion, which was a great gift. But as part of that time, for the new members, for the people that had just been baptized, these are adults and children, they would give them this kind of wonderful confection of milk and honey. Had it on a spoon, dropped it right there. And, you know, the story was that their mouth would just explode with joy. And there would be this, you know, and it only gets better from here, kid. A friend of mine, a colleague, was recently posting a video of his grandchild drinking a milkshake for the first time. Can you imagine that? I mean, the look on that kid's face was bliss. It was surprise. It was surprise, like, how can this be? How can this be so good? And there it was. He's in a car seat with a Dairy Queen cup, enjoying the deepest communion with awe. Now, we have been talking about this lead up to Christmas, and we have been talking about it in the context of how weary the world is, how hard things are in our lives. So we've been invited to acknowledge, first of all, that we are dealing with weaknesses and struggles and weariness. And then last week, we talked about finding that joy that comes with Christmas also in and through the connections that we have with each other. Kind of like the drummers. When you guys drum, you have kind of this rhythmic connection with each other. Your hearts kind of start synchronizing with each other as part of that. So you're connected, even though you're playing your own individual drum, right? But there's a connection, right? When you're singing with each other, there is a connection that is going on. When you're running a marathon with shepherds, there is a connection. So today, though, I want to speak about awe, about that sense of surprising wonder that comes. Now, some of you may have been, you know, kind of like enjoying the meteor shower recently. I haven't. I would hear about it, I would get excited about it, and then I'll go to sleep. But that has been, for some folks, a source of awe, just like ice cream. Like, how good can this be? Now, with ice cream and with emotions, there's oftentimes like the three basic flavors, all right? So the three basic flavors of emotions are anger and joy, you know, happiness, not joy, just happiness, glad, right? And also sadness. When people reflect on how they feel, oftentimes those are the words, those are the basic phrases that they will use about the emotions that are going on in their lives, right? It's like saying that there are only three different kinds of ice cream, right? There's vanilla, there's chocolate, and there's strawberry, right? No? Come on, you people know this. No. No. Mango ice cream. Blackberry. Oh, peach. Yeah, I got you. I got you. Yeah. Butter pecan. Some of you like butter pecan. Yeah, I'm dealing with that. All right. Me, I'm weird like this, but pecan. No. By the way, it's pecan, not pecan. Let's be clear. There are so many varieties and connections of this beautiful thing that we have in this experience of life. And so, yes, there are moments of anger, and there are moments of gladness and happiness, and there are moments that are sad. But there are these moments. There are these moments where your socks get blown off if you're wearing socks at the time. Where your understanding of the way things work and the way it should work and how it all goes gets completely turned upside down. And we experience something beyond what we had imagined, and the elation, the joy that comes, beyond just being glad, beyond just like, hey, I got an A on my test, or my, you know, kid's home from college or whatever. It's really, how great is this? Now, for many, that's hard to know sometimes, or it seems so far off. In fact, in this season, there are, like we've been talking about, there's weariness, and there's unhappiness, and there's the work that we have to do just to kind of get through the celebrations of it all, right? How do we find joy? What little slivers of joy do we have? But I want to invite you to something today that might help with that. I want you to listen for what happened with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, if you remember, Zechariah was given... Can we go to the next slide, Ike? That'd be awesome. There's a vision of artistic vision of Zechariah. He was doing his job in the temple, lighting incense, what he was supposed to do that particular day. He goes into like the holiest chamber, is doing his job. The messenger of the Lord shows up, and is Gabriel, and says, hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Well, not you are going to have it, but your wife's going to have a baby. And he goes, she's awfully old. But the reality is that they had been trying for a long time, and it was a shame. It was a shame not only that they didn't have a child, but it was also a shame for the family because people looked down on them because of that. And so here is Zechariah, and he has trouble. Are you sure? What kind of guarantee are you going to give me on this? And because of that, he is unable to speak. The Gabriel, the angel says, all right, it's going to happen, but you're not talking for a while, buddy. You need a time out. Remember this? We talked about this. So the timeout comes, and he is really unable to speak. And the community then, sees Elizabeth looking like she's pregnant. And like, you know, what's going on? She is older. Maybe she's gained a little weight. You know, they're kind of like, you know, trashing like that. You know they are. And then it comes to the moment where she is able to say, yes, this is true. Mary comes to visit. They rejoice in each other's company. They start doing this thing together. And the time comes for Elizabeth to have the child. The child is born, healthy boy. I mean, wouldn't that be a moment of awe? And certainly it isn't a moment for the neighbors and relatives. They're all kind of getting together and they're thinking, this is amazing. And what do they want to do? They want to kind of change it up. So it's like, you know, it's a good moment for them. Hey, Elizabeth, what are you going to name that boy? Why don't you name Zechariah after his father? And she says, faithfully, she says, no, his name's going to be John. And immediately, they stop trusting her. No, don't trust the mama for what she wants to name the child, right? No, you don't have it. That's great. You don't have anyone in your family by that name. We need you to contain this a little bit. I know that you're having this child late in life. I know there's all the talk about miracles, but come on, let's be reasonable. Let's just kind of put this right back into the box that we can understand and predict. So what do? They go to Zechariah. And they appeal to maybe his vanity, maybe, the tradition of naming within the community and culture. But they come to him and say, hey, Dad, what do you want to name? You can just see the kind of manipulation going on. What do you want to name this, your son, who was given to you by God in this miraculous way? And what does he do? Zechariah says, give me something to write with, because he still can't speak. Give me something to write with. And he writes, his name is John. And suddenly, yay. And suddenly he is able to open up his mouth and see and say things. And in fact, if you go back, we didn't read it today, but if you go back and look at it, he says the most amazing things. And we call it the Song of Zechariah. It's a special prayer that actually in some communities is prayed every day in the at least once a day. And that song is a song of, man, Jesus is going to do some stuff. That's my translation. Man, is this going to be amazing. And suddenly the community starts to get it, like, God seems to be at work here. And if God is at work here, What is going to happen? If this is who John is and he's going to be, then what is going to happen? And they're open. It takes them a bit, but they become open to what is about to occur. They would not allow, Zechariah and Elizabeth would not allow this just to be swept up into the normal stream of things. There you can see the words coming out of his mouth, and they are words of awe and surprise and joy. There are a lot of amazing things in our life that happen every day. Every day. There are pedestrian, routine miracles that happen all the time. I mean, I was just reading to the kids about how, bones grow overnight. Do you remember that? You put the kid to bed and they're one shoe size. And they get up in the morning and you're buying pants and shoes and the whole shooting match. What happened to you? I don't know. I just went to bed, There are these things that happen that keep us from wrecking on the road. There are things that happen that open up our hearts to relationships with each other. There are things of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a miracle. Right? Hope is a miracle. There are things that are happening all the time. There are things that are happening on a very small level, microscopic level, miraculous, and there are things that are happening in the broad universe. We're only able to even kind of tap into some of those things, even just recently. This next image that I want you to see is a live stream image from the James Webb Space Telescope. Have you heard about this? Big golden thing. It's kind of spacey looking, Well, of course. And the Webb Telescope is able to look very, much further than we've ever been able to see, than we've ever been able to conceptualize even. Recently, in the last few months, there were some pictures revealed from just deep field looking in a blank, empty space. They just picked a blank empty space and said, take pictures there. And what they found blew everyone's mind. Now this image, it's got technical details on it because that's live stream image. I captured this yesterday afternoon. This was actual data that was streaming in and being processed looking for a particular molecule in that target zone. I mean, that's a miracle in and of itself. Used to be, our life was limited to Polaroids. You remember that? And now you can reach into your pocket and trigger some of the most amazing details. Now, those are human inventions. But the things of God have gone that much further. In fact, the science and the technology that we have is the slow art of unraveling the mysteries of God. This next image is from... Can you see that well? Oh, man, that really kind of looked good. I didn't know how well it would render. That's from a nebula called the Heart Nebula. If you pull back from it a little bit, which we can't do here, you'll see that it's kind of in the shape of a human heart, and it is absolutely stunning. I'll post an image of this on my Facebook page so you can see some of the details of that. It's just, that something would exist. That something would exist, and that is the birthplace of stars. You ready for the awe? That image was processed by a college freshman. It was posted to the NASA website on Wednesday. By the way, my college freshman could not do that. We need to be open to the kind of joy that goes outside of the box, to the kind of awe that goes outside of the box that points to joy. It is almost that awe, that apprehension of something that is beyond our ability to fully kind of pull in, or beyond our ability to just kind of, recognize and move past. That openness to awe is the pathway to seeing the kind of joy that we're talking about next week. Your personal heart's openness can help you see what may have been laying there underneath all the tinsel and the glitter and the bad renditions of Silent Night that we've been through. Your openness to so much more than what has been contained and what is containable can be the pathway to what God is trying to reveal even now. Open yourself. Here's the homework. What I want to ask you to do is to reflect on, when was the last time that you were actually truly amazed about something? Like some really good bluegrass or some fine pickled okra, or that flavor of ice cream that was not mentioned, but you know it's really, really good. Peanut butter pickle ice cream or whatever. Or the smile on someone's face that you love and haven't seen that smile in a long time. Or the capacity to heal past crazy and stupid things like COVID, right? When is the last time that you have been in awe? Have you experienced that feeling that amazement opens into joy? And if not, or if it's been a while, open yourself up to it. Look for it. Perhaps even point it to your beloved. Talk about it to your kids. Reveal it to your drumming buddies. Just be open. Listen and look. And may that deepest joy that we are celebrating next week go beyond your wildest imagination. And I invite you to this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.